Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Saturday mornings from 9 for CMI Toyota, South Australia's number one Toyota dealer and the home of 1 hour express while you wait servicing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this Anzac Day edition of Dead Set Legends. And of course, Bernie Vince is back after a couple of weeks away. Good morning, Bern.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Yeah,
good to be back, boys. Good to be back.
Nice. Yes, and of course, Jars back in the studio, second week running, back in the studio. A bit more atmosphere in here, isn't there? Gets a bit tinny from home.
Good morning to you. Good morning, Bern. Good morning, Adelaide. Nice to be here for the... and good morning to little Emma G.
Yes.
She's back on board with us.
Good morning, guys.
And good morning, everybody. Let's get underway.
Yes, and as I mentioned, boys, a very, very special day, April 25, Anzac Day.
Great.
And, of course, we pay our respect
to all
of those that have served our country past and present. Servicemen and women who've done a great job for our country and let us live our very privileged lives.
Spot on, mate. Mm. Well said. Bern, you're out the your street this morning, and I had a couple of my kids out the backyard in the driveway there and listening to the service. So it was wonderful. And a lot of our people, a lot of the street was busy with mums and dads and kiddies respecting our fallen heroes.
Yeah, definitely. It's a little bit different this year, wasn't it? Can't go to the shrine or what they do. So, everyone was standing out the front in my street.
Jars,
a couple had candles, and a guy actually played the bugle in our street, which it was a bit touching. I was getting a little bit emotional, Jars, at the time. It was great. So a lot of people, a lot more than what I thought, was just standing out the front of their place, just paying their respects. So it was a very touching moment.
Was it a decent rendition, Bern? Because often, you know, we tune into the football and hear the absolute guns doing it. What was it like?
Very, very good, Blue. Wow. And, you know, every now and then, we used to go back home to the Stansbury Anzac Day march in the morning. And, you know, every now and then there'd be a... Like you get it a bit wrong. But very, very good. I couldn't quite see. It was a bit dark to see how far down it was coming from. But very, very good. Well done.
Yeah, well done, boys.
What have we got?
Yeah, we've got, of course, our usual Dead Set Legends Q&A, Bernie's Beef from Tuesday Rush Hour. So looking forward to that. But a couple of guests coming on today. Jay Clark, who's going to update us with everything going on with the AFL. We're hearing it's not too far away, which is great news. Keith Bradshaw, SACA CEO, is going to join us. Just because cricket's making headlines as well, not the only sport
getting some negativity. Your sport
doing it tough at the moment, and of course, might be the Adelaide Oval might be the hotel is being developed down there, so the timing might be absolutely perfect. With
have
India
you had a bit of a look around at the new facility? Have you checked out your little 5-star hotel?
I drive past it on the way in here, so it's coming along nicely. So we'll get an update from Keith about that. At home with the legends, Jars, you've got something as well.
Yeah, I need to discuss something with the family after 10.
All right.
Pretty brutal, but I'm going to be honest.
And up there, we'll discuss.
Hang on. You're running off the sheet here.
Here we go.
You said Keith Bradshaw, the CEO of the Redbacks.
Of the SACA.
Right. I'm going to ask him a really tough question. Is your position safe because of the last 4 or 5 years? Very average down there.
Okay.
In Shield cricket.
Keith's or Bluey's position?
Bluey's.
I thought he was talking about Keith.
That is a harsh question.
Your position, skinny head.
And we'll talk about something you've discussed during the week about the AFL and SA Hubs. Are we in the frame here in Adelaide?
Come on, G.
Let's go.
Here's your Dead Set Legends, Bernie, Bluey and Jars on Triple M for CMI Toyota. 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M with your Dead Set Legends, Bernie, Bluey and Jars for CMI Toyota.
Yeah, pick up and drop off vehicle service now available. And wasn't that nice from Gleeso, our good friend Dave Gleeson? Just kickstart this top rating sports
get
show.
Get us going.
Front page. Now, for the best call, I've got a lovely cheeky Greek voucher. Very good friends of mine, Trace and Tony, down there at Henley Beach. A $30 voucher, all right, for the best call today.
Nice.
Have you been down there lately?
I haven't been down there for a few weeks, but regulars we are there. The Blewett clan.
Catherine would love it, wouldn't
you? Yeah, the boys. The boys have fish and chips when they go in there.
Front page, gentlemen and family. AFL Eyes SA Hub. All of a sudden, Gil McLaughlin has written a letter to our Premier Stephen Marshall to ask whether South Australia could become a quarantine hub for the resumption of 2020 season. Gentlemen, it can't happen. We can't cater for it. We don't have the infrastructure for it.
Why not?
It's a waste of time. I beg your pardon?
Why not?
But we don't. We don't have the venues. We don't have the infrastructure, Burn. Look what's happened to the West Lakes. The surface looks fantastic. They'll destroy Adelaide Oval if they're going to play all these games of football, Blue.
Well, they've said...
And it'll interfere with your cricket season.
But why did... No, it won't.
Yes, it will.
No, it won't because...
It'll wreck the surface.
No, it won't. Not at all. Because the square comes out and goes back in. So that'll be fine. If the MCG can have a game just about... every day, why couldn't the Adelaide Oval?
Well, Burn, MCG, now we spoke about this yesterday in the rush hour.
Yeah, we did.
This is where it's going to end up, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I feel like they're just doing their due diligence. Is that how you say that?
Yes.
But they checked out WA. They spoke to the Premier over there as well, and they've spoken to, obviously, Steve Marshall now, and I think they'll probably do it in Queensland as well, because there's two grounds there. But my mail is... it'll happen in regional Victoria. So there'll be four regions that all teams go out to, and they'll send them off. We spoke about this. It's sort of they send them out to the Yarra Valley, which is sort of northeast of the city, about 70 Ks. 70 Ks. Yeah. Sort of 70 to 100 Ks each direction.
So bus them out.
Yeah, the Macedon region or precinct, they're going to call that, which is sort of northwest. And then you go down south, the Mornington Peninsula is going to be another one, and then another one, the Surf Coast down Geelong way. So by bringing in Geelong as well, that makes three AFL standard grounds that they can play at. Got GMHBA in Geelong, and then you've obviously got Marvel and the MCG in the city. So they'll just bus them in, play, bus them straight back out. Little exposure to the public as possible. So it just makes sense mine.
Yep.
And that way, no teams have to fly everywhere. I guess the only teams that have to fly are the interstate ones to get into Victoria. Once they're there, they stay. And, you know, there's 10 teams in Victoria, so they don't have to fly anywhere. So I think that makes the most sense, Jars, even though I'd love to see footy played in SA.
Yeah, and those grounds that you mentioned are obviously set up for the broadcast as well. Mm. So that's a massive tick there. Talking about Adelaide and creating a hub, there are options, surely. And they're talking about... Bernie, staying at venues that, you know, wide open, and as you mentioned, like Geelong, regional sort of areas. So
we're in Adelaide. Well, you're going to have over 1,000 people coming over.
Well, I'm thinking, it's not going to be 1,000 people.
Well, hang on,
hub.
You've got players and lists of 30 plus support staff.
Yeah, but they won't have the whole hub in SA. If SA's one, that'll be
three
one
or four
hub.
Teams, won't it, Burn?
Yeah, it'll probably be four teams. Yeah, four to six. Mm. Yep.
So you've got Lady Bay down
at Lady Bay. There's a golf course.
Yeah, but there's a hotel there. We go down there for our pre-season trip.
So how many Ks is that? Is that what?
Nah, that's that's take you about an hour and a half to get down there.
That's
the same. 70 Ks.
Yeah,
70 Ks. Barossa Valley, the Novotel. At Barossa?
Yeah, that'd be a good
spot. Very
nice. That would be a good spot.
Yeah, that'd be all right.
Spending a
month in the Barossa.
So we'll shove them out at the Barossa, yep.
Now, down at Victor, McCracken.
Oh,
yes. Some hotels down there, Burn. There's some options. They train at a few of the grounds down there.
The local venues down there.
So then just come into Adelaide Oval for their games.
I think Burn's hit the nail on the head, and we're going to catch up with Jay Clarks, and he'll have a bit more of information regarding it. It's better the 18 clubs all in the one spot and you just leave it. All right. You can't have them spread out all around the country, you know, because then you've got to charter flights and bring them in and bring them out. Do they quarantine for 14 days? If you put them all in the one spot,
it makes it a little bit more difficult, a little bit more messy, doesn't it?
I think fixturing as well, Jars. Fixturing as well. Yeah. With the 18 clubs, they can all play each other rather than just segregating and playing, say, the six teams you're with. It makes it a bit more fair and even competition.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's going to suit the Victorian clubs because they're going to be playing at some of their home grounds.
Do you agree with Charlie Dixon saying that it's an advantage to the... Chuck's done his head on it. But the fact is he's saying that it's a massive advantage for Victorian clubs.
Well, it is, but we've spoken all along. We just need to get footy happening, and I know it's going to advantage some of the Victorian clubs, but we need to just get the games happening, and you just got to go with it.
Did you answer my question? Is it going to be an advantage for the Victorian teams, yes or no?
People at high positions have said we've got to be flexible.
Baldy,
it will.
Of
course it will,
but
Baldy.
That's mainly about home crowd advantages. No, there will be no crowds.
But that's why I don't agree with Chuck. I think there'd be no advantage whatsoever.
Oh, there will.
How?
There will be slight advantage because...
How?
Because they're playing at grounds that they play on every week normally, Jars. I know the crowds will be taken out, which will even up a bit, but it's still an advantage. I'm telling you right now.
133353, where should the SA hubs be set up if we If the AFL and the Premier Steve Marshall sign off on it, family.
I've mentioned a couple, but maybe York love Peninsula. Some suggestions.
York Peninsula. What? Get it happening over there, Stansbury.
Your old man will have them.
Your dad will have them. You can live on the farm.
He'll feed them, get them to do the farm work.
Set the tents up.
All right, 133353. That's the number to be a part of the show with your Dead Set Legends, Bernie, Vince, Greg Blood, and Andrew Jarman on Triple M. Check day with your Dead Set Legends, Bernie, Bluey, and Jars on Triple M for CMI Toyota. Book a test drive at your home or workplace today.
Okay, let's get to the phones, chaps. Where should the SA hubs be set up if we can get over the line? I don't think it can happen, but anyway, let's go to Alex from Richmond. G'day, Alex. What are your thoughts?
I reckon set one up on KI.
KI? Yeah, but
it's all on its own. Once you get them in, they got to go in, they stay there, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They're going to stay there for, they're saying, sort of up to 6 to 8 weeks to get as many games as they can.
Yeah, the island's struggling. You've got two ways that they can spend some money on putting some decent ovals in there. Throw them on the island there.
Yeah, and how long would it take, though, to get those grounds up to AFL standard? That's my only question.
So they'd have enough people, if they needed to do the work, Bernie, they could do it in a week.
Yeah.
People would go over and do it. If the AFL's got the money and got the capacity to do it, they'll fly people from anywhere in Adelaide or anywhere in Australia to do the job.
But the main accommodation over there got burnt down, Alex, so they might struggle with rooms.
As I say, no. If they've got to spend the money, if they know what they've got to do, spend the money, get the island going. It creates jobs on the island.
Yeah, it does.
Get somebody to build some accommodation over there.
All right, that's a good option here, Alex. Thanks for that.
Didn't mind it.
But you what?
Didn't mind the Kangaroo Island idea. It's just the ovals and obviously the accommodation. But how good would that be? Because the AFL, we spoke about this, Jar. It's going to cost tens of millions of dollars to keep these AFL teams and players and support staff in hubs because it's over 700, well, they said 700 to 800 people will be up for accommodation. Imagine the cost of that. Just the food alone with those big blokes eating would be huge. So imagine pumping that into KI.
It'd be a fair trek for the players, wouldn't it? Getting to Adelaide Oval from KI.
And some blokes don't like going on a ferry either.
It's a bit rough.
What about, say, Tex? He'd pass out, wouldn't he, on the boat?
He would. He'd be like Ditz on the way back from KI after we did. Remember? He's looking all pale and sweaty.
He'd nearly die.
What, had the bucket out, did he?
Oh, mate. He went missing for a while.
He looked like the Hulk. He was that green.
Now, Byrne, you're wearing a cap.
Yes.
Now, I tuned in last night.
The bounce was on.
What the hell was going on?
What's going on?
What are you doing?
Well, that's called entertainment, Blue. You should probably take notice, and that's what the people out there want. So
you had beautiful hair, just for the family that didn't see it. You shaved your head last night on the bounce.
Yeah, I thought, you know what? Well, there's, you know, all the chat around the ISO haircuts and the ISO, all this.
Oleg Markov, have a look at this.
Uh-oh.
You know who he is? Ronaldo, out of the Brazilian. Remember who played for Brazil in the World Cup? So, you know what I thought I'd do?
Oh, no.
I thought, bugger it, I'm going to give myself a bloody ISO haircut.
No, you're not.
Oh, you're
going to say.
Is that working or?
Oh,
no, you're not really doing it. What are you doing, Bernie? ISO haircut. She's lost his mind. Someone's in that tuna. Is that. You're a crook.
Is this working?
Yes, it is, mate. Don't do that. What are you doing? Well, you're going to do it next.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are. You said you needed
it. I think we should all do it. Let's all do it.
Jeez, I just thought I'd do it. What is he doing to you?
I don't know, but I like it.
This wasn't in the script. Well, I'm going to give myself an ISO haircut because I like what Gordy has.
Well, here's one thing we do know. At least there are some people who are using their time wisely at home. And I speak about young Miller Hellman.
Oh. There you go. Now, the big chief would have gladly done it because he's obviously got no hair as well. But
that's why he wanted everyone to do it.
Did you word him up? Did they know you were going to do it?
They didn't know. Only the producer knew. So I hid the clippers behind me as I walked up and plugged them in, had an extension cord going up behind me, had to hide it all. And then obviously as part of the show, we got a bit of a run sheet. So we went through the first bit and then I wanted to highlight the ISO haircuts that have been happening at home.
Son,
and a few players have been dyeing their hair pink and Gorney gave himself the Mr. T haircut.
That's right.
And there's been a few that got, Oleg Markov was a quite funny one. He cut his hair like the Brazilian soccer player Ronaldo. Remember at the World Cup in 2002 or whatever it is?
Just the front on the top of his head.
So I thought after that one was played, I pulled it out and they were in shock. Because with the first bit, you couldn't really tell I was cutting my hair. And Gazy was in shock. He goes, oh, he's actually not doing it. Oh, good. And then I went, he saw a bit of hair fall and he's like, oh no, he's lost it. This bloke, what's going on, Chief? He couldn't remember. And even Chief didn't know what was going on, but he liked it, as well he said. Done. So I just thought a bit of entertainment, mate, and hair grows back. Yes. The only thing is I've got a strip of a zero at the front. I accidentally, when I was trying to fix it up after, yeah. I forgot to put the clippers back on it. It was I've got a zero stride mark, as you can see on the Triple M Instagram page. I've got a runway up the side of the to me
well
head.
Done. But love that.
Oh, I feel fine. It's just a bit cold at the moment outside. This morning was.
Keep the cap on.
Overnight scoreboard next. Dead Set Legends on Triple 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M with your Dead Set Legends, Bernie, Bluey and Jars.
Now, on a Saturday morning, Jars and Burn, I love my little drive into the studio because I drive past the beautiful Adelaide Oval. And I noticed this morning that the hotel is in full steam. And to tell us a little bit more about what's going on with the Adelaide Oval Hotel and maybe the summer of cricket coming up is Keith Bradshaw, the SACA CEO. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning, Bluey. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Now, mate, really appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on a Saturday morning. And as I mentioned, the Adelaide Oval Hotel, is it due for completion in November? And if it is, maybe pretty good timing.
Well, actually, a little earlier than that, hopefully. We're due for completion around the middle of September. And at the moment, we're tracking on time and on budget. So it's at the touch wood looking good for September opening.
Does that mean the Test Series versus India could be played all at Adelaide Oval, like we've heard?
There are some really positive signs at the moment. We've obviously reached out to Cricket Australia and there are discussions taking place with the BCCI in India. We have an opportunity whereby potentially the Indian cricket team could start their quarantine in India, come across to Australia on a chartered jet, obviously with all the health protocols put in place with the Australian government, of course. And then we have an ideal situation where they can be quarantined at the Oval in the new hotel. They get all their food, their nutrition, they have the training facilities, and we've offered up not just one test, but as many as you'd like.
Now, Keith, regardless of if we don't get the five tests, I mean, that the first test against India is due to be played in Brisbane, but is there a real possibility that if they do have to do the 2 weeks quarantine, there's a really good chance that could happen here in Adelaide?
Look, it's hard to say, but I think it is a realistic possibility at the moment. At the moment, it's still a four-test series, not five. Cricket Australia, I think, have tried to negotiate that, but there are further commitments that the Indian cricket team do have. But we're certainly open to having as much cricket here as we possibly can, of course.
Now, the Redbacks coaching gig. I need to ask you a couple of questions on this one. Are you on the panel, and do you need a complete clean-out? Has the new coach got full reins to bring in anyone they want?
So at the moment, we have a review that's just been commenced by Michael Hussey. So Michael Hussey's doing a review of a high-performance system and the Redback system. And that's all embracing. And he's talking to people within our system who've been part of our system, outside our system. So at the moment, the process of appointing the new coach has been put on hold because obviously we'd like to hear what Mike has to say and what his recommendations are. And then we would take that on board and, of course, implement that as part of the future process going forward. But, of course, that we're really keen to get a coach on board. It's important for our list management, our pre-season, and to get someone on board as quickly as we can at the moment.
Now, Keith, cricket isn't immune to this situation that all sporting or all businesses worldwide are facing at the moment. And the SACA isn't immune to that as well. You've already had job cuts down there as well. And how is the summer looking in terms of finances? Because we're hearing too that, you know, Cricket Australia are having to cut back a lot, which is staggering, really, because, a $200 million a year broadcast deal. But at the moment, there are some real struggles.
It's like any business. It's really, really tough at the moment. And we've lost a quarter of our staff, some really, really good people. So that was really sad. And we were impacted, of course, with the Adelaide Oval. We're a 50% shareholder of the SMA, and there's no revenue coming in at the SMA at the moment. So that's a financial hit for us. We, of course, are concerned about the summer of cricket coming up and what that means financially, and our distributions from Cricket Australia too are about to be reduced quite significantly given the cash flow problems that they're indicating at the moment. So it's a pretty torrid storm at the moment, but we're not on our own, are we? It's something that's being experienced across the globe, and all businesses are suffering that. And we're putting in place strategies to keep on our staff and to do as much as we can to ride through this storm.
Chatting with CEO of the Redbacks, Keith Bradshaw. KB, what's your take on the performance of the Redbacks the last, say, three or four seasons? Because it's been very, very average, and nothing worse than seeing our South Australian teams have poor years or poor seasons. What's your take on it? What needs to be fixed up?
Let's be really honest. We're really disappointed that we finished at the bottom of the table the last 3 years.
Yep.
That is disappointing. Having said that, we, in terms of individual players, we've had some great successes with people like Travis and Alex Carey and Adam Zampra and Kane going to the to the top level. But unfortunately, we haven't, in my view, been able to fill those gaps that have been placed in the team. So they've left a big void. And that's something I know that Mike Hussey, through the work that he's doing, and our own guys too, you know, Tim Nielsen and the high-performance team have been looking at. We haven't been able to cover those losses. So successes on an individual front, but look, let's not shy away from the fact, very disappointing with where we finished on the Shield table.
Okay. How far is Mike Hussey going with his review? Does he look at grade cricket? Because there's been a lot of talk about the grade cricket system just isn't quite up to standard.
Yeah, it's an open book for Mike, and I know that he is looking at that. He's looking at all aspects of the Redbacks, the SACA, whether it's Premier Cricket, getting, you know, talking to people from other states that play against us, people have been involved in the system in the past players. So looking forward to seeing what he has to say and getting his input.
Keith, have you been updated, just before we let you go, with the ICC as well? Of course, the World T20 World Cup is meant to be happening in October, which obviously affects the Adelaide Oval as well. Have you been updated on that situation?
The latest that we've heard, and there have been some meetings over the last couple of days, and I can quote the chief exec, Kevin Roberts from Cricket Australia, who says it's on until we say it isn't. So they're still keeping positive. They're still putting plans in place for that to go ahead. Obviously, they had massive, massive challenges in putting that together with so many countries coming in from around the world. So we're watching that space very, very closely. And yes, it does impact us like it does all the other states. We're hopeful that can go ahead, but gee whiz, do they have some challenges.
Keith, thanks for your time. When will you sit down with Greg Blewett and tap him and say, that's it, you're done, clean the locker out?
I don't think I'll be doing that, but yeah.
He'll get someone else to do it.
Don't build him up, Keith. Mate, thanks for your time, and we'll speak soon. All the best.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Keith Bradshaw there from the Redbacks cricket side. Hang on, let me finish. Yeah. Well, what's wrong with you?
Nothing.
Don't get grumpy with me because I asked him an honest question.
He's grumpy. You're grumpy.
Look at the lip drop.
He's all defensive.
He's not happy.
Here we go. Well, go on. What do you want to say?
Have you had constant feedback from Keith, and have you sat down regarding a future at the program? Because you've been part of this program the last 4 or 5 years where we've been bottom.
Jeez.
Yes or no?
I wanted to, was there a Gazer review? Did that,
Yes, there was.
No, I just want to finish off by saying that Keith Bradshaw is an unbelievable man. I mean, I can talk about a range of issues. We haven't got time right now, but he is a real people person and does an unbelievable job down there at the SACA. So thanks for Keith for coming on.
It's a little job application there for you, Blue.
He's a brilliant man.
Now, you guys have got nothing that's happened at the household this week, but Byrne and Blue, you got something that James Brayshaw and Billy Brownless did regarding cricket?
Yes.
What's happened?
There's a guy on, he's on Twitter, a guy called Rob Moody, and if you love your cricket, he's well worth a follow. He uploads pretty much old footage,
okay.
And he uploaded something the other day of, it was me getting a wicket, I suppose. Very, very talented Damien Martin, who got off to a flyer.
Right.
And you've got it there, Byrne?
Well, yeah, James Brayshaw has recalled it as the way he saw it, and Billy Brownless is in the background. I quite like Billy's input, actually, during this, but have a listen to this.
Have a listen. Here we go.
Blewett comes into Damien Martin and, what about that for a catch? Full length, one hand, Brayshaw, superstar.
Actually a bit stiff there, Martin. Brayshaw normally doesn't hang on to those.
Piss off, Tub Guts. He's one of the better infielders in the game. Good looking boy too. No wonder big things are predicted for him.
Looks real happy with himself. Actually, I'm hearing he's half a knob.
Look at that replay. Completely airborne. That's as good a catch as you'll see.
Yeah, if he moved a bit earlier, he probably didn't have to dive.
Anyway, no one gives a shit about what you think. Fat Martin gone off the bowling of Blewett to the catch of the tournament.
Oh, brilliant.
Very good. Very
was
good.
It a good catch?
So I gather they did that on the rush hour during the week in Melbourne, but wasn't a bad catch. Yeah,
very good catch.
I think Mardo had scored 42 or something off of 17.
And he could hit a ball, couldn't he?
Oh, he's a tremendous player. Mm. Very, very good player. Yeah. So, yeah, not bad bowling to get him out, Jazz.
Yeah, well done. Yeah, were you a good bowler? How did you rate yourself as a bowler?
I was a batsman who could bowl a little bit. That's how I saw it.
You bowled 140, Jazz.
Did you
140?
Really? Yeah. Those skinny little pins coming in.
Nice. Yeah, that's it.
bit of leverage with those skinny
little pins.
Mate.
Hey, Jay, before we go.
So listen to Arnie Schwarzenegger sitting
before
in the studio
we go
over
the 10 o'clock news.
Yeah.
We did the CMI Toyota little read.
Yeah.
Just quickly. What have we got to do again?
Just got to clarify
that
actually we don't want to encourage people to go in store
because
of coronavirus. But it's okay because they can bring the car to you. All right.
Beautiful.
CMI Home Drive. They'll bring the car to your home or workplace.
Yeah.
So
there you go, family. All right. Let's go.
Right,
still to come on the Legends, Jay-Z, Jay Clark after 10 on Triple M. Dead Set Legends, Bernie, Bluey and Jars for Anzac Day. There's a big Anzac concert on telly tonight, guys, with Paul Kelly.
Oh.
Yeah, all Aussie artists live streaming from their homes because we can't have live concerts. Barnsley, James Rain, The Wiggles.
I'll be tuning in. I love Barnsley.
Yeah.
I love Jimmy. Now, what we don't love is individuals whacking other individuals. Now, last Saturday on the Dead Set Legends Q&A.
Hang on, I think this is about
Greg
your family.
Blewett. Just let me finish.
Can we get his mic turned
Greg
down, please, Em?
Greg Blewett, you did an impersonation of the Adelaide Crows senior coach, Matty Nicks. This is what you did.
Oh, g'day, boys. Matty Nix here. What about naming Tex Walker on the wing? Thought that'd get a bit of a laugh in the first round.
Now, that was very good.
Well,
that was good.
Blue, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was very good.
Nah, mate, it was good.
What do you mean giving? So who are we giving a whack?
I beg your pardon?
Well, you were...
Now, on
you can
Monday,
speak at the end, Blue.
On Monday, we had Matty Nix on the Rush Hour, the top rating sports variety show. And we played your impersonation to Matty Nix, and this is what he said.
Oh,
Greg Blewett.
You know what? I was a huge Greg Blewett fan before I just heard that.
Well done.
He's got a point though, because my wife or my partner, she always gets into me about, can you try to stop whinging and talking?
You've got a good voice, Nixie. Nothing wrong with your voice. It's a sexy voice.
It's a bit deep and husky. I've got some nose issues. I had the nose broken a number of times.
There you go.
My career. But I was a huge Blewett fan. But I'm not changed.
He jumped off. Bernie, he goes off.
So, Bernie, he wasn't happy, was he?
He's not happy. He jumped off.
We spoke to him after the show. He's filthy. Wanted
we had
your
to
number,
cut him.
Didn't
we? We had to dump him.
Actually,
dump him
I heard Bernie say
what?
As well.
What did Bernie say?
Well, I think Bernie said, I actually liked, I quite liked Bluey as well until I got to know him a bit better.
You didn't like him either, did you, Bernie?
I used to.
You weren't
a fan. I used to. Until this week, basically.
Right. Rory Sloane, the captain of the Adelaide Crows, who joins us every Wednesday. We asked him this question about you taking off his senior coach. Your thoughts and comments regarding Greg Blewett, who was a bit of a scared number three batsman for Australia?
Oh. Well, he did play for Australia, so he's got us covered, all of us covered on in that regard.
Right.
I find that quite funny.
You don't whack
anyone. Quite funny too.
Oh, you got to whack Greg Blewett.
Nixie's calling me right now. He must be listening. He's literally trying to call me right now.
He's listening.
Oh, no. I don't find it funny.
Answer the phone. We'll just answer the phone. See what Nixie wants.
No, can't do that.
Mate, thanks for your time.
I'll just screen the coach for you.
Oh,
today.
Be...
Oh, well done. Well done. No, that's good.
Right.
We're more important.
Thanks, G. Now, he wasn't really happy, the captain of the football club, that you're taking off his senior coach.
He didn't sound unhappy
was
to me.
The
it
coach
was hilarious.
And the captain there. He's
right.
Got,
now,
no, surely he can't get anyone else off.
All right. Now, I had something to say about you, which was, look, I don't know where
fair.
It came from.
It was fair.
He just come out, and this is what I had to say about
But another thing happened today, Jazz. Our fellow Dead Set Legends member, Gregory Blewett.
Yep. Who insulted the Adelaide Crows coach,
He did, yes, that's him. Yep, you described him well.
Yep.
He shot 4 under today playing golf. Now, he just texted me that. Did he text you and let you know as well? Because we're all mates.
No, I haven't received the text message from that lazy, selfish, vain, fragile, skinny, greedy little cricketer. No, not at all.
say that.
I can say you that. I don't. I can say that about an individual.
Can you tell me how you really feel about it?
Skinny, fragile, vain were three of the.
Greedy was the last one.
Greedy.
So that came out, all right? That just slipped out from nowhere.
That happened.
Bernie Vince. Burn.
Yes.
Right. So this is what Bernie, what'd you do?
Well, what I did is I thought I'd do is I'd Google the name Greg Blewett and do a bit of background. And it gave me, it gave me a meaning where the name comes from and a few words to describe you. So here's it. Yeah. Greg Blewett.
Yeah.
The name Greg.
He's panicking, isn't he?
Well, he's typically backing out like a squid from a squid jig.
Yes.
You know that?
Yes.
The squid. He's backing out like a squid.
He is too.
Good nickname for him.
Mixie doesn't like you, mate.
Squiddy.
So I forgot Bernie, I said that. Yeah, I forgot I said that.
And
he's backing out like a squid. So you know, a squid jig, they come up like that, and then they back away. So you're back now because you know what I was unhappy about? You apologised to him. You apologised on Twitter to him, didn't you, Blue?
What did you apologise?
I said I was forced to impersonate him because I was.
Oh, you wasn't forced?
You said forced?
You said you're not standing by what you said.
Oh, I wasn't forced.
No, you could have said, no, look, I declined to impersonate the great Matty Nix. Oh, but you couldn't wait because got intel on you that you did a very good job on him around the house.
In fact, Jazz told me you asked him to ask you that question because you're that good at it.
That's what he told me, but that got me thinking.
Like I said, so I Googled your name.
Here we go.
And this came up. So Blewett. The Blewett name originates from Cornwall, and we actually mentioned earlier in the show.
Yes.
So, and this is the meaning for Greg Blewett. Lacks the power to perform physically demanding tasks. Has little physical strength,
he does.
Little energy, and little stamina. Words to describe Greg Blewett. Anemic, fragile, hesitant, shaky, weakened, wobbly, lackluster, puny, spent, and out of gas.
Because he drops a lot of gas.
Burning jars. Are you done? Roasting Bluey.
What a couple of knobs.
Your Dead Set Legends on Triple M.
Stuffed. Anemic.
Lamb with your Dead Set Legends, Bernie, Bluey and Jars for CMI Toyota pickup and drop off vehicle service now available.
G's feeling sorry for you.
Yeah, I don't like anybody getting roasted for no reason.
Roasted?
Thanks, Sam.
That was a real drilling.
He insulted our senior coach at the Adelaide Crows. You can't do that.
No. Yeah, and the captain.
And the captain. You gave him a drive-by.
Hey, it's Matty Nix here.
Just to be
really clear, I love Bluey. He's an absolute legend.
He's off you, mate.
Listen.
He's off you.
Listen. Oh. Now, there's an article that's come out. The Great Game of Cricket. Now, Jars and Bernie.
Yes.
We all remember guys like Dennis Lilly having those big red stains down the front of their pants and on their shirts.
There you go,
It might be a thing of the past. Because of the coronavirus, they're saying you're not allowed to lick the ball.
Mm.
So it's what are they going to come up with? You, Jars, were telling me off air that you were dead set cheating.
Hang on.
In your career.
Hang on. That was a private chat.
Saying that you would fill the back pocket of your pants with Vaseline.
Yeah,
well, what's that for?
Yeah,
for
your
chafing
sweat.
To stop the sweat.
Good question.
That was a private conversation, knucklehead.
I don't care, mate. So you, that's a good way of showing.
So you're cheap.
My pa Jarman taught me that when I was a youngster, when I was bowling.
Right, okay. Well,
and that's not cheating, is it? Back in the day, there was no rules
Vaseline,
against that.
Vaseline, no, that's a big no-no,
is
mate.
It?
That's a big no-no.
Now you're calling me a bowling cheat.
Bancroft and Warner might have been ahead of their time, Byrne, with the sandpaper, because that might be allowed.
And you didn't cheat, Byrne?
Nah, never cheated.
Not
with the ball.
Well, what you...
apart from licking and spitting and
so you used
doing
to lick the ball.
Need.
Do you lick the ball?
I actually used to lick the ball, which
that's disgusting.
I think I still do, which is probably a bit concerning. But if they ban shiny, correct me if I'm wrong. This is they're in hubs anyway. They're going to be touching and high-fiving and getting close to each other anyway. No one else is going to lick the ball. Like, someone from the crowd's not going to lick the ball, are they? Unless it's, I guess, it's a six.
I think it's a bit of an overreaction.
So that's all just a team. Yeah, I think it's
just
a little
bit of slider. And
if they're not allowed to shine it, they're going to have to have new balls a lot earlier than, what is it, 80 overs now? They're going to have to bring that forward because it's going to be too easy for batsmen.
Correct.
Yeah, no, that's right. They've got to. They're thinking about bringing things in,
like what?
Well, I don't know what they're going to do. That great Dennis Lilly was talking about that he noticed that if he had a nice new woolen Australian jumper on, yep, or a vest,
yep,
that the natural oils coming out from of that woolen vest was a great thing to just, you know, shine up. But I'm thinking, like, Pakistan were masters at getting the ball reversing and
dodgy.
And even in the modern day, guys were actually like putting things on their nails to harden them up,
yeah,
and then they'd file them. And so they'd sort of, you know, dig away, and they were like little weapons that they used to try.
Well, yep. Shahid Afridi bit the ball once, didn't he? Took a chunk out of the ball as well, from memory.
He must have been hungry.
He's hungry.
And then I reckon Faf Du Plessis, South African captain.
He got done twice.
Yeah, so he was rubbing the ball on his zipper, on his pants, to try and gouge
on the zip.
Yeah, so I mean, the other things that players have used is sweets or lollies.
Yes.
So you can bind a bit of sugar with your saliva, then that gets a really nice shine on the ball. So
so you think the ICC are going
to be thinking about ways that the players can use something to enable to shine
the
ball.
How come the fast bowler doesn't shine his own ball?
Because
What does he need the mid off? His ball.
His ball.
No, his cricket ball. Why does it? I love that fast bowler with the red stain down his right leg or his left leg. That means he's worked hard all day.
He can.
On his shirt.
Why not someone else do it so the bowler can just sort of concentrate on, you know, getting back to his mark?
I need to feel it in my hand. And what they do is they just throw it to him and off he turns around and goes. Pat Cummins, they don't even.
Cummins.
Yeah. Superstar.
My name's Bernie too, not Vernie.
Did I call you Vernie?
We'll move on.
Anyway, that's it's under threat, that great art of shining the ball. So anyway,
keep your ball shiny. No, you do.
Keep what?
Keep your ball shiny. What are you laughing for?
Oh, just the way you said that.
That's what you do.
What are our options, boys? New ball each end.
Each end.
Have a ball each end like they're doing the one day.
No. They're talking about, they'll have to substitute something other than saliva. So it might be a patch on their pants that they might be able to have something on there, some sort of oil or, I don't know.
Yeah, nice.
They'll come up with something.
All right.
Still to come on the Legends, Jay-Z, Jay Clark and Jars Overnights.
All right, Bern. Now, we do it on the rush hour on a Friday. Yeah, just quickly explain to the family how this works.
Well, we're missing our footy fix, Jars. So I come up with this idea that we flick a coin for the result. Head is the home team.
Yep.
Tails is the away team. I've got a dice, an electronic dice that I roll. Maximum 60 is on the dice. Ooh. So that's the margin.
Yes.
So that's 0 to 60, obviously.
Yep. Yep.
And we do each game, each round, and I keep a running ladder. So I'll keep you updated. A big round this one too because it's Anzac round. So we're looking forward to some of these results. Round six. So
here
last night.
Okay.
Anzac Eve game. Melbourne played Richmond. Melbourne sitting in 15th place, battling down the bottom of the ladder. Melbourne by 38 points in front of a big packed crowd at the MCG too, Jazz. They had the light horsemen. They had the blade run with their phones out and the candles and the flames. Nice. It was a beautiful night.
Yeah.
I went along, actually. Drove over to it.
Good.
Anyway, next game is Saturday morning. Yep. Hawthorn versus West Coast. In Melbourne, so we had to travel over in a close one. West Coast by 4 points, and West Coast,
good team,
sitting up towards the top of the ladder too, equal top at the moment.
They're
so
they're
on fire. So they keep that run going
go after the game? Is he angry?
I think he punched a hole in the wall again in the box because they gave up a goal late, which was wasn't good. He didn't handle it well. I think he broke a couple of bones in his wrist.
Oh, is he?
Anyway, so it's interesting to see if he'll be back next week. Now this one, boys, the Anzac Day game. Can we all just have a bit of silence?
Okay, here we go.
Okay, now we've got that out of the way. And everyone, big roar after that the round went around the ground. Big games. Collingwood are sitting equal top two, boys. Yep. So this is a big result. Collingwood by 29 points and didn't. Still side bottom, just light
did
it
burn?
Up. Four goals, 33 possessions. Anzac medalist. I think he's won
what
it a couple of times
tip and
before.
Woody?
Tip and Woody.
There you go.
Well, he ended up tipping Woody for his old man. Look, he should probably think of another profession, and that's it.
Oh.
Tip and Wood.
Right.
Anyway, that went down lead balloon, that joke. Anyway,
next
Brisbane,
game.
Sydney. Just get onto this one quickly. Sydney by 9 points. Okay. Next game, GWS, who got the big sauce, Jacobs rucking, and sitting up the top of the ladder too, playing Gold Coast, who are down the bottom.
Yep.
Gold Coast by 9 points in an upset.
And Sauce had 79 hitouts.
He did. He 79? Broke the record for hitouts.
Didn't he?
But must have been tapping him straight down Gold Coast throat or something. I don't know what was happening there. No connection
Stewie
whatsoever,
on
Sauce.
The grog now.
He is. It's party time up there on the coast.
All right.
Anyway, Carlton and North Melbourne. Now, this is a big game, boys. Carlton currently winless. Down the bottom of the ladder, need a big win.
Come on, Blues.
And did they rally for David Teague's coaching career
go the
future? North Melbourne by 42 points. And they are coming for David Teague's head there
gone.
At Icon Park.
Yeah,
the cameras are there. You know when you're under pressure, the cameras are rolling up. It's big trouble down there.
And what about the little superstar Eddie Betts, Hammy D kick?
He's still in the twos at the moment. Coming back from that ankle, though, so that's just prolonged a little bit. So he's just first game back. Didn't go too well in the VFL either. So anyway, now we move on. Fremantle, Geelong.
Yep.
This is a big game. Fremantle going quite good in the coin flip league to some people's surprise. But over in Perth, Geelong by 59 points, which is nearly the maximum win. Geelong.
Nice. Yeah. Joshy Jenkins in amongst the goals. Any over the top in the goal
Jenkins
square?
Go.
That's a good question. Josh Jenkins has not played a game for Geelong yet this year. He's been he hasn't even played VFL. I think he's gone surfing. He's gone surfing, says he. I'm going to have to ask Jay Clark about this next week.
Gone fishing
with
danger.
Where's Josh Jenkins?
Yes.
He's not even on the team yet. I'm not sure what's happened here. But moving on, we'll get on to the SA teams because some big results here too. Port Adelaide, who are sitting 17th on the ladder, boys. Yeah. They need a big win here against Western Bulldogs. Bit of turmoil this week for the Western Bulldogs. Lockie Hunter accidentally clipped a few cars on his way home after a bit of a session. Port Adelaide by 21 points.
Well done. Well done.
Took advantage of the Western Bulldogs Football Club being in turmoil this week. So went over Port Adelaide.
77 touches.
Yeah, he's at 77. He's in hospital on a drip at the moment with leather poisoning.
Yes.
He's had too much
good
of
boy,
Travis Boke. Not sure if he had 77, but well done to
good
Travis Boke.
Good result Boke. For Port now.
Big result. Last game of the year. St Kilda versus Adelaide. And Adelaide on a bit of a streak at the moment, pulling their season back together.
Here we go.
St Kilda by 21 points at Marvel. No. They've let themselves down.
Nixie.
They had a good couple of weeks too. Nixie must have been that
what
voice.
Happened?
Must have been Greg Blewett.
Not too happy that the harder surface at Marvel. Anyway, no excuses. Nixie. No excuses. We'll be back, boys.
Oh, very good. So at the top of the ladder, boys, at 5-1, Collingwood and West Coast, the only two teams sitting up there.
Well
and
done,
down man. The bottom at the moment, Carlton, 0-6. Yeah. David Teague will be lucky to be coaching next week. Interesting to see if David Parkin or Dennis Pagan, one of those guys, come back because he's just about gone.
Bernie's coin flip with your Dead Set Legends for CMI Toyota.
Okay, Bernie Vince and Greg Blewett, quick fire questions, quick fire answers. No hesitation, please. Bernie Vince, did your poor mother pass out after you destroyed your hair last night on the bounce?
No, she thought it was very entertaining.
Greg Blewett, why are the Australian cricketers being greedy over a pay cut?
Well, they share the revenue, so they're already going to have a pay cut.
Greg Blewett, did you personally apologise to Matty Nix for humiliating him on radio last week?
More or less, indirectly.
You rang him,
well,
did you?
Well, I was forced to do it.
Or you just did it on Twitter.
I was forced to do it.
Bernie Vince, why was the Western Bulldogs weak in giving Lockie Hunter only 4-game suspension?
They weren't weak. Four is fine.
No, it's not.
I said a month.
Greg Blewett, name your worst two cricketers you've ever played against.
Worst two cricketers I've ever played against.
No, I just said that.
James Brayshaw.
Oh,
and
flip. I thought you played with him.
No, I played against him.
Yeah, James Brayshaw. Yeah,
James Brayshaw. Mark Lavender. Household name.
Bernie Vince, if you're a girl for a day, which male footballer would you hook up with? Oh, hurry up.
Who would you hook up with? I don't know.
Sauce?
No.
Bokey? I'd go with Bokey.
Oh, yeah, Bokey. I'd go Robbie Gray for breeding purposes. Good blood.
You'd go with Robbie Gray.
I've got a management decision there.
Greg Blewett, why did you call Emma G late last night for her to buy us coffee?
Well, because I knew you wouldn't shout. You've never shouted anyone for coffee.
Pig's bum.
Tight ass.
Bernie Vince, Clip. Name your worst two footballers you ever played with.
Shit. Hurry up. Jaron Jackie.
Jaron Jackie?
And I don't know. It's a tough one.
Well, who else? What am I looking at, G?
No, I'll just leave it one.
Okay, Greg Blewett, what nickname or pet name do you have and you call Catherine?
Bobes.
What do you call her?
Bobes.
Bobes.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Bobes.
Bernie Vince,
other things.
Have you met a lawyer to looking at suing the Chinese for loss of income?
Yes. Good I'm not boy. Happy.
Bernie Vince, the nastiest house you've ever been in?
The house I live with Tex in.
Greg Blewett, the one food you'd trade for lovemaking?
Crayfish.
Greg Blewett.
Glass of white wine.
Please impersonate radio icon Sean Craig Murphy.
Good evening here. Welcome to Dead Set Legends. And I'd like to just promote my radio school, radioschool.com.
Bernie Vince, impersonate Tex Walker getting a Best Player Award.
No, I can't because he's never got one.
Just give us a nibble.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank my mother and father from Broken Hill and all my mates. They've got a couple of loose mates back there in Broken Hill. It's my birthday today, so best on ground on my birthday's not bad.
That's brilliant.
So, well done, loves. Hey, thanks for that. Enjoy the rest of your day and yes. Family. See you Monday.
Yep.
See you, boys.
Dead Set Legends, Bernie, Bluey and Jars. Stick around for the rub next. And with no footy on, we're reliving the 2019 Anzac Day game next.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Saturday mornings from 9 for CMI Toyota. South Australia's number one Toyota dealer and the home of 1 hour express while you wait servicing.